We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz. And the Nets get a W, their 27th of the year, taking down the Raptors 96-88. Not the prettiest game in the world, but a couple of takeaways that are worth mentioning. Firstly, it was a slog. Let's just put it that way. The Nets shot 9 of 39 from 3, you know, under 46% from the field. The Raptors shot just under 19% from 3 and under 44% from the field. So it wasn't the best watch in the world. But the Nets, when it mattered, stepped up. And you know, the likes of Dennis Schroeder, Trenton Watford, these sort of guys were big. Were big in big moments. And so were our big guys as well. You know, a big reason why the Nets won this game, they had a 50-30 advantage on the glass. 16 offensive rebounds to 8. It was just, despite having 20 turnovers, which was left a lot to be desired, their ability to just bully the Raptors, who were without, you know, Scottie Barnes, RJ Barrett, a heap of different guys, yeah, Emmanuel Quickley as well, Jakob Poeltl, 4 of their starting 5, I guess it is. And the Nets didn't make it easy for themselves. You know, Cam Thomas was out himself. We saw during the broadcast, yes, sort of showed him working out a little before the game, seeing how his back was going. He did look hampered. Hopefully, it's not a long-term issue for him. But in general, this is just one that the Nets had to get. Like, just after the week they've had, you know, Mikal Bridges, the whole stuff with his Villanova buddies in New York at the old MSG, they just had to get this win. And it was a lot of it due to the young guys. You know, early in the game, we saw Noah Clowney play some extended time and is playing alongside Nick Claxton, Darren Sharp. He was playing as a 4. There was some really great defense from Clowney and Darren, who were just eating things up down low. You know, at 24-20, Noah Clowney had a drive and dunk off the catch, which looked super fluid, super athletic. And look, I just want to touch on him because he's the one. The numbers might not scream. 21 minutes, 37 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. I'll talk about that 3 ball. 6 boards, a steal, a block, plus 7 on the night. Noah Clowney was awesome. And we got, and I liked the experimentation from Kevin Ollie playing him at the 4. I thought that was, you know, a nice little tidbit from him. He cuts off Dennis Schroeder, who's always probing, always driving. Noah Clowney reads it well. He had a massive dunk off of that. That was at about 46-40. Let me look for some more of my Noah Clowney sort of stuff here. You know, he had a corner 3 ball that was, you know, at an important time. He had this block on a driving Raptors player. I can't remember who it was for the life of me, but this is at 60-56. So he made some big-time plays, Noah Clowney. Big-time plays. And, you know, it's interesting that we haven't seen more of him because this is what this guy has got, but it was the right matchup for him to showcase his skills on both ends of the floor. He looked super fluid. That 3 ball looks really nice. I've said that, you know, time and time again that, you know, the numbers, I think he shot like under 30% at college, but his fluidity and form is something that really, something that enthuses me and has me optimistic about him being, you know, a really versatile player. And you know, the another versatile player that I want to shout out tonight, you know, is Trenton Watford. You know, Trenton Watford, I would say, was one of the two best nets tonight. Him and Dennis Schroeder. And Trenton Watford in 21 minutes, 7 and 10 from the field. Excuse me. 2 of 4 from 3, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. 7 boards, 2 of them offensive. Did have the 4 turnovers, but did have 19 points. And, you know, there was periods where the Nets needed to generate something. You know, some offense, some spark, and Watford was doing that. You know, Watford had a nice little fake handoff off Schroeder, and he got some free throws off of that. You know, he got a 3 ball as the Nets at 42-33, and you know, it was a semi-contested one. It was a nice pass from Nick Claxton too. You know, he's backing down, you know, towards the end of the half, a Grady Dick, and gets really deep in the paint, hits a nice floater, gets the and one off it as well. You know, late in the game, you know, the Raptors are scrambling. Watford's three, gets the ball, hits his patented floater, 92-81, gives that Nets the breathing room that they need to sort of close it out. I'm a big fan of Trenton Watford, guys. I think that this guy is he's an NBA player. I think he's a quality rotation player. I think he has a diverse, dynamic skill set on the offensive end. I think he's good enough. I think he's got good size. He's a good passer. He has a wonderful handle, good low center of gravity. You know, really strong, good passer, decent shooter, really amazing at driving, and his floaters are absolute cash too. So, look, I think this guy deserves some time, and look, some people are comparing him to Cam Johnson, you know, on Nets Twitter, and how he's got a deeper and more diverse offensive skill set. Look, there might be a reach, but I'm not saying that either. I think he's just got greater fluidity and composure to his game. Obviously, Cam Johnson is one of the best three-point shooters in the league, but, man, tonight we saw, like, lineups of Clowney, Clax, and Trenton Watford out there, and the size was on display, and the size made a big difference in the Nets getting this win, as did Dennis Schroeder, ladies and gentlemen, against his former team. Let me get to some of his highlights. You know, he had this sort of under the rim layup where he was probing, creeping, had the ball on a string, 39-33. That was big. You know, he had a nice smooth long two out of a playoff or out of an extended break, and he hit the, and it was just absolute money. He got the boys in for a huddle, got the guys in for a huddle in the third quarter, sort of gaining that composure, showing some good leadership. He's really acclimatizing well to what's happening in Brooklyn right now and being a really impactful force out there. You know, and when the Nets it's back and forth, the Raptors are gaining the ascendancy. He had a really strong mid-range off a strong DFS screen, and this is after, you know, an extended time off. Excuse me, guys. And he hit this awesome mid-ranger. Like, really, really smooth. Great screen from DFS. Really strong to get that space for him. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder was wonderful tonight. I'll get to his stats. 7-15 from the field. 1-7 from 3. 4-4 from the free throw line, though. Did have 7 dimes. 5 boards. 2 of them offensive as well. Only the 3 turnovers for his 19 points tonight. Great game. Great game from Dennis Schroeder. And I'll get to the rest of the guys before heading to the break. Nick Claxton was awesome in terms of his rebounding. He had 16 boards. 16. Did have a couple of dimes too to go with his 9 points. Just the 1 point off a double-double for him. 4 or 5 from the field. Clax was just showing off his strength tonight. Jalen Wilson as a starter. 4 of 10 from the field. 1 of 4 from 3. 5 boards, 2 assists. Liked what he brought. I just think he's a great sort of glue guy, sort of DFS sort of type where he can just... He had a really strong floater as well, you know, at a point in the game where the Nets, it was at 64-60, and he, after some free throws, he was just, looks comfortable out there. And it's just nice to see that when the Nets are struggling, you want to see something from the young guys, and Jalen Wilson showed us plenty tonight. DFS was also pretty positive tonight, 4-6 in the field, 1-3 from 3, did have 5 boards, 3 assists and a steal. You know, the Nets had 20 assists tonight. Outside of that, wasn't a lot to speak of. We saw some minutes from Gilliard. We didn't see many minutes from Lonnie Walker, who was 0-6 in the field in his 9 minutes. Darren Sharp showed a little bit here and there in his 8 minutes as well. So, ultimately, you know, intriguing about Lonnie Walker, there might be a longer discussion to have on him because I just don't know what's going on with him. You know, he mentioned the other day, you know, his lack of minutes. He's like, you know, it's all about the wins, and he had the right mindset. He was saying all the right things. So, I want him to get more time, especially in the absence of Cam Thomas. Lonnie Walker is a ready-made Cam Thomas replacement. Now, not necessarily as a starter, but I think I should have got more than 9 minutes tonight and inconsistent minutes as well. So, but he's also got to produce, and he didn't produce tonight, didn't hit any field goals, 0-4 from 3, 0-6 from the field, as I alluded to. But yeah, an intriguing thing. We'll see how Lonnie bounces back on forward against the Bulls, and hopefully we get some more from him as the Nets look to get a couple more W's on the board. But after the break, guys, we got some news from Shams around the Brooklyn Nets, and I'll be diving into that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, the first one from Shams Charania is the news that we all knew but got confirmed by a more than credible source. You know, we'd heard it from Jake Fisher, we'd heard it from Mark Scott, we'd heard it from Mark Stein, we'd heard it from every reporter out there, but when you hear it from Shams, it means something. So, the Houston Rockets reportedly offered the Brooklyn Nets a blockbuster deal that would have sent Mikal Bridges to Houston and returned Jalen Green and draft picks to Brooklyn. Now, again, we haven't confirmed the nature of those picks yet. Was it going to be this year's 24 pick? Was it going to be a 25 pick? Was it going to be a 27 pick? Was it going to be more than that? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But it's just to hear it come from the horse's mouth, so to speak, you know, when it's a source as credible as Shams Charania, it just is like, how can Sean Marks, in his right mind, turn down such an offer? Now, whether there was pressure from ownership to, like, the misguided nature of how they see Mikal Bridges, who, again, tonight, I didn't mention at all, looked a bit banged up, did a bang ankles with the teammate, but he was poor tonight again. It's just, I just don't get it. You have a chance to reset, get some assets back, get a young player who's been one of the best players in March, you know, Western Conference Player of the Week. He's putting up 35 and 40 pieces like it's no one else's business. The recent dad in Jalen Green. And I'm struggling to find the answers to why. Like why? Because you get the pick back this year, then you get, you know, it could be a top five pick, you know, and I get, and I understand that maybe this draft isn't amazing, but the Nets just have this clear path to rebuilding. And look, is rebuilding guaranteeing long-term success? No, but we're seeing a lot of the best teams in the NBA right now. How are they built? They were built by the draft. Nikola Jokic, via the draft. Jamal Murray, by the draft, via the draft. Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum, via the draft. Jaylen Brown, via the draft. And via the draft, via Brooklyn as well. So I just, yes, you have a combination of both, but it feels like that the perception that Sean Marks and or Josiah have of this team, have of Mikal Bridges, is one that is rosier than many, many other fans and opposing pundits, executives believe. I don't understand it. Like, I'm scratching my head. I'm scratching it, and I can't find the answers. Maybe there's other people out there who, yes, the nature of the deal does matter, but is Mikal Bridges better than Jalen Green? I'd just take that, you'd almost take that trade straight up right now, given production. Now, Mikal Bridges, I think, is a better, more malleable fit. You know, is some of the recent play of Jalen Green you know, just shooting luck, some of it, but I also think some of it is he's shooting a lot better in terms of the nature of his shot making. So, yeah, I'm pretty frustrated with the leadership at the Nets brass right now, and it's something that I'm not the biggest fan of. And look, you know, to reiterate, you know, via a Brian Lewis, and this is on when he jumped on the Eric Slater's podcast, the Believe Nets, great Nets podcast out there, by the way, guys. He said they feel they can recruit players, they being, you know, Shaw Marks and Joe Tsai. That 100% is their belief. They believe that guys will want to play in New York. Between talking with agents and players, they have a feeling they can attract players. And, like, how good does that make you? Like, it just... I'm not saying that rebuilding is going to guarantee success, to repeat myself. But I will say that it is a stronger likelihood than pinch hitting with your Trae Youngs, your Donovan Mitchells, and then hoping another guy wants to come to a situation where the Nets are misguided, directionless in many ways, more than one. So who knows, Nets fans, if you've got answers, hit me up, because I certainly don't seem to have them right now. But another little tidbit that was intriguing, interesting, whatever you want to sort of say, via Shams Charania, Spencer Dinwiddie was not permitted to run pick and roll plays or isolations while with Brooklyn, via Shams Charania. Now, what I think here is that Spencer Dinwiddie, he's got his phone out. He's given a little text to Shams. He's slid into his DMs because the numbers don't back that up. Now, again, there's probably more to it. You know, in terms of isolation plays for the Brooklyn Nets, for guys who have had, you know, qualify for this, only Cam Thomas has had more isolation plays for the Brooklyn Nets. Dennis Schroeder is third. You know, 3.1 plays per game, possessions per game for Cam Thomas, 2.2 possessions for Spencer Dinwiddie in his 48 games as a Brooklyn Net, and, you know, was efficient enough, but wasn't necessarily amazing. 1 point per possession on that, you know, certainly better than Mikal Bridges, who's 1.6 possessions and 0.71 points per possession. So not great from him. But in saying that, you know, this was just like maybe a little bit of a stray from Spencer Dinwiddie trying to throw one the way of Shaun Marks and the Nets franchise, who are certainly catching those strays, and deservedly so. When it comes to pick and roll plays as well, Spencer Dinwiddie had, let me see how many, 4.4 possessions per game. You know, 33.4% frequency, the greatest frequency outside of Dennis Schroeder, you know, 0.84 points per possession, which is the same as Mikal Bridges, which is slightly less than Lonnie Walker, slightly less than Cam Thomas. So I just don't get this from Spencer. Like, do your thing in Lakeland, and he's having some varied success over there. But, yeah, who knows? But, guys, I've got so many other different quotes and topics on my little thing here, but I'll save that for a future pod. I'm hoping to get a guest. I'm hoping to chat with Nick very soon. But it was just good to get back on the winner's board, and good to see some flashes, some moments from our young guys, Jalen Wilson, Noah Clowney, you know, these sort of guys who were showing a lot. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder leading the way, Trent Watford, who I have, you know, I'm a Trent Watford stan, you know, I'm a T-Watt stan, you know, if there are such things, I am one of them. And I'm a Nets stan all the way as well, guys. It's been a bit of a struggle of late, but we're back on the winner's board. The buzz will keep going. Make sure you give us 5 stars on all streaming platforms. Give us a rating and review if you can. And Nets world, we got the W, baby.